broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for May 30th in the year of our Lord, 2022. This is hour one of two, and the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. That is our guide. And by the way, we believe the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers. What are the great peaceful restorative solutions we have at our fingertips? As you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to the broadcast. It is indeed Memorial Day, and we are absolutely live. It is a day to remember. It is a day to have gratitude and appreciation for those who have gone before, who have sacrificed much. But more importantly, it's a day to remember our role in the present, to ensure the legacy continues for the future. That's what we focus on 24/7, 6 days a week. On the Sabbath, we rest. Today's no different, yet we want to call it out as a special effort to be live today, to spend time with our friends and family around the world who believe in the sacred cause of liberty. First, a quick recap of Saturday's show. As you know, we are live 6 days a week, libertyroundtable.com, lovingliberty.net. And we talked about the fact that a teacher propped open a door just a couple of minutes before the shooter walked right through it, unchallenged, ladies and gentlemen. Stephen McCraw, he's the director of the Texas Department of Public Safety. He's the one that's reporting that, ladies and gentlemen. Do you believe it's a coincidence that a teacher propped open that very door, the same door, literally a couple of minutes? I mean, I'm not talking an hour. I'm talking about literally 2 or 3 minutes before the shooter walked through that very same door. Is that a coincidence? What do you call that? Is it serendipity, ladies and gentlemen? Was it God's plan? Or was there another plot afoot? I don't know. But I know this, we're seeing more and more and more strange connections that absolutely look to be, to me, like intentional manipulation of the people. Now, they claim that we peddle propaganda in the news because they don't like what we report. Never mind, we're factual. Never mind, evidence proves us right and them wrong over and over and over again to the point of nauseam, right? But in addition to all that, are they now peddling propaganda, but manufacturing the very propaganda they peddle? In other words, think about it this way. Oh my gosh, everybody's gone crazy with guns. We've got to enact gun control. That's the narrative. That's the dishonesty. But yet, hey, they create false flag shooters, false flag scenarios, false flag mayhem in America to back up then the, quote, panic-driven need. Is that what's going on? It sure looks like that to me, ladies and gentlemen. Well, Sam, you don't have any proof. There you go again on your conspiracy theory whacked out views. Oh, but when you study how many of these people are on psychotropic drugs, when you study how many of them are in mental health counseling, when you start to say, you know what, we may not be able to create a flat out cause and effect relationship, but we certainly can create this scenario that isn't it interesting how almost every one of these shooters are on psychotropic drugs. The same narrative tracks virtually all of them. All right, we talked with our guest, Chris Carlson, doing a great job. He says, without God, we can never win. With God, we can never lose. The battle for freedom is the Lord's, but we must be engaged in the fight. And so we had a discussion about all things liberty. And we specifically discussed an incredible book review. The book is called This Nation Shall Endure, written by Ezra Taft Benson. Great book, by the way. Religious freedom cannot prosper where political freedom does not exist. For man to exercise fully the agency God has given to him, his God-given natural rights must be recognized and protected. Okay? You can't have political freedom where there's not religious freedom. And you can't have religious freedom where there's not political freedom. You got it? Today, ladies and gentlemen, we live in a land choice above all other lands. There's both a blessing and a cursing on this land. What is the blessing? Keep my commandments and you shall prosper and be protected. What is the curse? Oh, disobey my commandments and the gloves come off and you'll become slaves on the very land your founding fathers fought for. That's the reality that we face, ladies and gentlemen. Biblically speaking, to back up that claim, God says if we repent and turn to him, he will heal our land and protect us. What a great, great blessing that promise is if we but take heed. Where are our founding fathers today? Some ask. Some are serious about that question. Others kind of mock tongue-in-cheek, right? Ladies and gentlemen, we have been recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We have been preserved these years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power in this nation. But the sad part is we have forgotten God, ladies and gentlemen. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserves all of us in peace. And we have multiplied in riches, in strength in the United States, right? We have vainly imagined the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom or virtue of our own. It isn't true. Unless we, the citizens of this nation, forsake our sins, political and otherwise, and return to the fundamental principles of Christianity and of constitutional government, we will lose our liberties, we will lose our freedoms, we will be in jeopardy of losing our exaltation. Okay? You cannot be saved by God when we sin and when we disobey God. We must obey the author of liberty if we want liberty itself. I say to you, the price of liberty is and always has been blood, human blood. And if our liberties are lost, we shall never regain them except for it be the price of blood. They must not be lost, writes J. Reuben Clark, quoted by Ezra Taft Benson in his book. How serious is our duty to uphold the Constitution, I ask? A citizen of this country cannot do his duty and be an idle spectator, writes Benson. Boy, do I agree. Ezra Taft Benson in his book also says this, and I agree. I reverence the Constitution of the United States as a sacred document. To me, its words are akin to the revelations of God. For God has placed his stamp of approval on the Constitution. That's important to understand. God has placed the stamp of approval on the Constitution. We talked about the enemy within the gate. There's a lot of enemies within the gate of betrayers, right? But the enemy within the gate primarily is immorality, folks, that he speaks of. We cannot be a moral people and turn our back on God. It isn't possible. We continue the book review, This Nation Shall Endure, by Ezra Taft Benson with Chris Carlson. And in the book, it presents a fervent plea in defense of man's God-given rights and a challenge to all Americans to overcome their complacency about America's continued prosperity. And it pleads for us to focus on our own role in her destiny. We have a role to play, is the point that Benson taps into. How are you going to deal with your role? What are you supposed to do? I submit to you that you should get on your knees, pray to God and find out, and then get up and go to work. That's what I'm doing. Pray you'll do the same. We then broke down two parables. The parables of the workers in the field and of the talents. And we related that to our duty. We talked about our problems today are centrally problems of the spirit, ladies and gentlemen. The solution, listen, the solution is personal and national reformation. In short, it's to bring our national character ahead of our technological and material advances. Repentance, ladies and gentlemen, is the sovereign remedy to our problems. Think about that. Repentance is the sovereign remedy to our problems. That's powerful, folks. That hits on the real truths, the real solutions, does it not? The Supreme Court denied a petition from 10 Republican states on Thursday, requesting it to block key Biden administration agenda items, regulations. The regulations say anytime you emit CO2 or whatever else, yeah, the social cost of carbon policy, if you will, then you're going to have to report on it. The state sued, but the high court rejected the 10 states' lawsuit without giving a reason or even listing which justices opposed it. Ladies and gentlemen, I say they're barking up the wrong tree when these 10 states go to the courts. My response is this: nullification is the rightful remedy. Nullify it now is what I would say. All right, when we get back, our guest, Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org, will be with us. You are listening live on Memorial Day to Liberty Roundtable.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
Do you treasure your liberty? Well, at LovingLiberty.net, we most certainly do. And we want to help protect your liberty, too. Become part of the family. Everyone knows that the core of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect the integrity of its family, we the people. Won't you join us as a Loving Liberty sponsor to help us promote the principles in the 5,000-year leap? Let's restore the miracle that changed the world at LovingLiberty.net.
Why does the left lie constantly? Because they get spiritual power from lying. The lies come from Satan, the father of lies. John 8:44. Here's how the political lying process works. Satan provides the beast with a lie. Then the more they use the lie, the more spiritual power they get. Look, the media is a lie multiplier, and this multiplication gives more evil, spiritual power to the beast, and that can overwhelm and even deceive the body of Christ, especially when the body is being disobedient to the head. The churches today are incorporated, so they're subordinate to human government. They obey the beast and do nothing to restore our national relationship with God. And the government shall be on his shoulders, Isaiah 9:6. That verse is not for the present day church. Rather, it is for the end time church, the body of the line of Judah. A message from Christ Kingdom Ministries.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Our guest, Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org, doing a phenomenal job. Before we kick off the topics today, Ezra Taft Benson writes this, and I concur, Lowell. Repentance is the sovereign remedy to our problems. You want to respond to that one, sir?
Yes, ma'am. Repentance, meaning turning away from our foibles, our sins, our weaknesses, our vices, and instead turning toward God and doing what he commands, what he counsels, what he inspires us to do, which is good unto all men, whether we like them or not. We are to do good unto them and thereby reverence our God. Sam?
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. I just wanted to highlight that because that book review was so good. All right, you got to ask the question Ron Paul's asking: what's Biden's end game in the Ukraine, ladies and gentlemen? This is serious business, ladies and gentlemen, especially to discuss on Memorial Day. Lol?
Well, it is important because we're risking a nuclear war with another superpower, namely Russia. And we're doing it, you know, we've already discussed this issue about the $40 billion aid package to Ukraine in pretty thoroughly on our last show, our show last week. But there's just two other points I want to make about this aid package. And number one, in the words of Ron Paul, he says this, quote, "There is a reason that our Constitution grants war powers to the legislative branch, forcing members of the House and Senate to declare the U.S. to be in a state of war. It also enables them, through the powers of the purse string, to define the goals of the war and particularly what a victory looks like. That prevents the kind of mission creep and shifting objectives that have characterized our endless wars in the 21st century, including this current proxy war with Russia." End of quote. In other words, Sam, I believe what he's saying is that it always pays to highlight the blueprint for liberty, the Constitution for the United States, right? That's our blueprint for liberty. If we would just follow it, then most of our problems would evaporate. And Ron's point is that waging war should not be done unless there is a declaration of a state of war by Congress. So that's the first point I wanted to make about this aid package. Number two, it's a point that we didn't make last week, so that's why I'm making it today. And number two, I mention this because the New York Times editorial board recently, just late last week, actually dissented from the general attitude of the Biden administration. And I find this very unusual. I mean, it was commonplace when Trump was in office, but it's very unusual for them to go against Biden's attitude. What they wrote was this, quote, "It is still not in America's best interest to plunge into an all-out war with Russia, even if a negotiated peace may require Ukraine to make some hard decisions. And the U.S. aims and strategy in this war have become harder to discern as the parameters of the mission appear to have changed. A decisive military victory for Ukraine over Russia, in which Ukraine regains all the territory Russia has seized since 2014, is not a realistic goal." End of quote. Sam, so that's a very telling admission by one of the mainstream organs, the New York Times, and you know, Ron Paul points it out and then ends his column with another insightful question. He is so good at asking questions. Quote, "Isn't it time to stand up and demand that both parties in Congress start asking some hard questions?" End of quote. Yes, I would answer, Ron, it is past time. Sam?
Isn't it time to stand up and demand that both parties in Congress start asking some hard questions? Yes, indeed. I agree with that. And we need to ask ourselves, really, you know, do we have the money for this? Is this really creating peace in the world? And I can go on with the questions, but I really want to highlight, you mentioned this, but I want to circle to it for greater emphasis, especially on Memorial Day, Lowell. Rand said this, "There is a reason our Constitution grants war powers to the legislative branch," okay, basically forcing members of the House and the Senate to declare the U.S. To be in a state of war, because it enables them to do several things. They hold the purse strings, and it requires them to define the goals of the war, particularly what a victory looks like, how we're going to get out of the war or finish the war after we've accomplished the objectives, what kind of mission it's going to be like to prevent mission creep. You know what? We can't have shifting objectives, never-ending, you know, ideas. This is why Congress, the broadest group of representatives in government, is supposed to sign off on this, because they answer directly to the people as well. This is all by design, and Ron highlights this, and I think it's worth really visiting. Whenever we go to these wars where Congress has not doubled down and done their duty, in my opinion, we allow Congress to betray us. Why? Because they're derelict in their duty, ladies and gentlemen. They cannot ignore it and let the president go to war, let the president garner the funding. They have an obligation. They've shirked their duty. This is something that we really need education on, because people should be very serious, and especially this Memorial Day weekend when our congressmen and senators are coming home right now. We need to talk to them and say, listen, you've had us in wars for literally my whole lifetime, undeclared, spending us into oblivion. When are you going to call a halt to the con game? When are you going to stand up and stop it? Anyway, I wanted to really call that out, Lowell.
And for good reason. Well done. I wish someone had asked that question at the debate last Thursday night, but no one did. In fact, I don't know that the audience was allowed to ask the questions. They were composed by the makers of the debate. But had I been asking questions, I would certainly have asked that one, that why are we in Ukraine? Why are we funding this war without a declaration of war by Congress? It's a great question. I urge everybody this weekend to contact their congressman and ask that question. It's a great question. Expect an answer. Demand an answer.
Amen to that. What Lowell's talking about is the congressional, third congressional district in Utah debate took place between the two people that survived and will be what? In the primary, I guess?
Yeah, both of them are in the primary.
All right.
We're talking John about Curtis, who? John Curtis collected signatures to get on the primary ballot. He lost a convention, but because he collected enough signatures, they're both on the primary ballot. John Curtis on one hand, Chris Herod on the other. That's our lineup for the 3rd Congressional District here in Utah. Primary is June 28th, and, of course, there's going to be balloting in a couple weeks preceding that. So be on your toes, ladies and gentlemen, especially if you're in, well, all across the country, right? I mean, members of Congress, members of the U.S. House are elected every 2 years. So somewhere in your district, someone's running for election. You make sure you get out, vet those candidates, and vote for the one who's going to adhere to the Constitution most closely. Sam?
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. I think it's important to have these debates. The sad part to me is it sounded like at the end of the day, everybody was just kind of in their own camps, even after the debate, because there was no real hardcore defining questions asked, Lowell. That's my take.
Yeah, there are a couple issues. I mean, public lands, they may be differed on that a little bit. Immigration, they may be differed on that a little bit. But I just didn't see a clear separation. I know there's a clear separation between these two candidates because I've watched John Curtis's voting record while he's been in office, and I also watched Chris Herod's voting record when he was in the state legislature. And they are very different voting records, very different. John Curtis votes just like most neocons from Utah, and Chris Herod, he votes more like Ron Paul would have voted had Ron Paul been in our Utah legislature.
Now, so let me pause you there before you go on. I don't mean to interrupt, Lowell, but this is really vital.
Yes.
This is why the delegates matter, ladies and gentlemen, because Lowell has taken the time to compare these voting records. When they're on the campaign trail and they talk good and you don't really ask hard-hitting and then follow-up questions, it's easy to think there's minor differences between the two. But tain't true. But you got to know the voting records and the detail of where they really put their money where their mouth is, so to speak, where their actions are, to really understand there's a vast difference. Lowell?
Oh, absolutely right, Sam. Yeah, vast difference. And I'm just here to tell you that if you're in the 3rd Congressional District in Utah, please vote for Chris Herod, because he'll be another Thomas Massey back there in Congress. He'll be another Ron Paul. He'll be one of these guys who doesn't vote with the crowd. He'll actually ask the question, does this align with the Constitution or not? And then vote accordingly. Sam?
Quick pause, ladies and gentlemen, on this Memorial Day. We wish you a happy Memorial Day, but we hope you take a moment to reflect on why Memorial Day even exists. What's the benefit of the day if we don't remember why? Liberty Roundtable Live with Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Lance Pride.
The Nepal Army is reporting the wreckage of a prop-powered plane that vanished from radar with 22 people on board has been found in the mountains of Nepal's Mustang District on Monday. That location is a few hundred miles northwest of Kathmandu. One of the young victims of the Uvalde, Texas school massacre bled to death while waiting for over an hour for police to come to the rescue, possibly dying because of the choice not to confront the shooter. State Senator Roland Gutierrez told CNN over the weekend that a victim's mother recalled to him how the child might have lived if cops hadn't been slow to move in on the killer.
It was a wrong decision, period. There's no excuse for that.
Texas Department of Public Safety Director Steve McCraw on the police delay to confront the active shooter. For more information, visit us online at usaradio.com. We are USA Radio News.
Did you know most vitamin supplements don't even come from food? Even the products with colorful fruits and vegetables adorning the labels are seldom derived from produce. Typically, supplements are synthetic, made in a laboratory. Modern science may synthetically imitate these chemicals, but your body isn't fooled. It knows the difference, and it craves quality materials to build, repair, and fight illness. You need to consume fruits and vegetables daily in a variety of colors, as well as whole grains and other fresh food. That's why I formulated Balance of Nature. I wanted to be able to give my patients a natural alternative to the cheap, unnatural chemistry by giving them real fruits and vegetables. In fact, the only ingredients inside of Balance of Nature are whole fruits and vegetables. Don't settle for imitation nutrition. Reach for the good stuff, the real stuff.
Call 1-800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com. Get 35% off your first preferred order by using discount code USA.
The trial that exposed Hillary Clinton's witch hunt on President Trump continues.
The trial continues for Hillary Clinton's campaign lawyer, Michael Sussman, who was charged with a felony for making false statements to the FBI. This was during the inquiry by special counsel John Durham into the origins of the FBI's Trump-Russia probe. California Republican Congressman Daryl Issa on this case.
This jury, it's very possible to get a hung jury or even an acquittal. That doesn't mean that the case hasn't been made, that the American people haven't seen sworn testimony that Hillary Clinton knew what they were doing when they falsely accused the president, when they paid to mislead in some way the FBI. And it does mean that when we take control in January, as we anticipate we will, that we've got to help clean house in the Department of Justice and the FBI.
That audio courtesy of Fox News.
That is Tim Berg reporting, and we are USA Radio News.
I want to dedicate this song to Mr. Rupert Murdoch.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. You got to watch your politicians like a hawk. You got to watch not only what they say, but you got to watch what they do. That's why delegates and caucuses and all these things are so important. Primaries and other landmarks along the way before you actually swear in a candidate. There's a lot of processes in place that the founding fathers felt would really help us vet and true up the right people to serve us. Remember, we not only need good, we need honest and wise servants of the Republic. All right, there's an incredible article by Eric Peters we want to talk about. Hardening soft targets. LouRockwell.com, Lowell Nelson.
Yes, the essence of this article is in the first two paragraphs, Sam. Quote, now the cry erupts for more armed guards in government schools so that there will be more guns in government schools so as to shoot back in the event a shooter attempts to shoot up another government school. But there is a much better, much more foundational way to deal with the problem of government schools being the soft targets of choice of soft-headed people. Get your kids out of government schools. End of quote. This caught my eye, Sam, because this is what you've been saying for years and what I've been saying for years. You know, shootings occur primarily in gun-free, killer-safe zones, safe zones, gun-free zones, which are really same thing as saying killer safe zones. Killers feel safe in a gun-free zone because they know nobody's going to be shooting back at them. Well, according to the Crime Prevention Research Center, 94% of mass shootings, let me say that figure again, 94% of mass shootings, that's 19 out of 20, folks, since 1950, meaning in the last 70 years, have occurred in gun-free zones. That ought to tell you something. If 19 out of 20 mass shootings occur in gun-free zones, that kind of should tell you that maybe I don't want to go visit gun-free zones. I don't want my children in gun-free, killer-safe zones. That's what it tells me anyway. But it is not solely because of the likelihood of more shootings, but because it is in government schools where soft-headed people are created. This is Eric Peters continues. He writes that government schools are emotional wastelands. Instead of family and friends, people your kid knows and whom the kid knows cares about them, random strangers constantly changing from classmates to teachers, some of whom may care, but not in a way a kid's actual parents do or ought to. Your kid is one of the herd, herded along from class to class, among kids he may not really know and whom you, the parent, are even less likely to know much about, if anything. End of quote. You know, that's really true, Sam. You often don't know who the teachers are. You don't really know what they're being taught, although I will admit that Zoom classes, zooming into the home during COVID, did expose many parents to the tripe that's being taught.
Yeah, and now the parents are rioting because they know how bad it is, just like we've been telling them all along, lol.
That's right. So Eric Peters recommends that we bring our children home and school them at home. Homeschool. And isn't that a moral imperative of every parent anyway? I remember when Vicki and I were first married that we felt a pretty heavy sense of duty, a responsibility that was ours to educate our children. We were responsible for them getting a righteous education. We felt that. We still feel that, even as grandparents. And so, you know, my question, Sam, you know, since when did the government take responsibility for educating our children? As far as I know, that responsibility was given to parents. And again, when did the education of your neighbor's children become your financial responsibility? I mean, that's just how it seems that is today. You know, people grow up, you know, parents become parents, and they send their kids off to school. It's weird. And so Eric Peters continues here. Schooling kids at home also assures their safety. Another moral imperative for any parent with moral sense. At home, you won't have to worry about your daughter having to deal with boys who identify as girls in the bathroom, locker rooms. Your son will not be hectored and shamed about his being a boy. No one's going to bully your kid, including government school administrators who force kids to wear face diapers and practice other variants of ritual humiliation. Your kids will not have to walk through a metal detector and pass an armed guard and so be habituated to prison life from the earliest recollection. End of quote. I mean, it's a hard-hitting article, Sam. Eric Peters just knocks it out of the ballpark, in my opinion. In other words, in a homeschool, he's saying this, the parents can provide better protection for their children, both physically and emotionally. You know, they would thus sidestep this critical race theory, the social-emotional learning that is woven into the fabric of our public school curricula nowadays. Instead, they're going to learn the basics at home, reading, writing, arithmetic, history. They learn to think, and that's probably the most important skill one can acquire during the educational process, thinking. Eric writes this, teaching kids to think was once the essence of a child's early education. It was called the trivium, which is Latin for the three basic disciplines of grammar, which is basic competence with the written language, logic, and rhetoric. Simply put, it's how to think, how to grasp the essence or the principle of a thing and then articulate it and apply it. To understand inferences and implications, what a thing means in both the abstract general as well as in specific terms. End of quote. Yeah, so in his article, by the way, Sam, Eric has a diagram of the trivium as three overlapping circles. Very interesting diagram. You got grammar, and you have grammar, logic, and rhetoric, right? So grammar is the top circle, and it encompasses knowledge or facts, data, terms, basic skills. You got logic on the left-hand side, which encompasses understanding, meaning how the facts fit together, the what and the why of something. And then you got the rhetoric on the lower right, the circle on the lower right, rhetoric encompasses wisdom or the proper use of the knowledge and understanding. You know, I've just never seen this diagram before. I've never even heard of a thing called trivium, if that's how you say it. It's a Latin word, T-R-I-V-I-U-M, trivium. Very interesting. And the area where the circles intersect, the area right in the middle, where those three circles intersect, is labeled true learning or mastery. So I just thought that was interesting. I may pursue that a little bit more to more fully understand that. But Eric kind of finished his article, his column here, saying this: in government schools, kids are taught to memorize and regurgitate reams of arbitrary, disconnected information. The ones who do it best are rewarded the most. Boy, do I know that's true. I was one of those good scholarly kids. I was rewarded a great deal for my ability to regurgitate information. Continuing on with Eric's last statement, he says, the ones who question it are treated the worst, the goal being, of course, to create as many quiet herd animals as possible. Naturally, kids chafe at being herded by this regime because it is unnatural. The human animal is not a herd animal by nature, though the government very much needs him to be, end of quote. So, you know, parents often send their children to school because doing so relieves them of the burden of teaching them themselves. I realize that. I understand that. I don't think it's right. I think in maybe some cases they have to do that, you know, in order to provide for their family because they have to go to work, maybe. But I don't think it's natural. And you know, I really like to hear the stories of children who have been homeschooled and have thoroughly enjoyed it. I like to hear parents talk about the joys of homeschooling their children, of spending so much of the quality time with them, of listening to their hopes, their dreams, their fears, apprehensions, their goals, and their progress toward their goals. I love those stories. And so not only do such parents provide a better education for their children, but they do so in a place, Sam, that is safe from active shooters such as Salvador Ramos from Uvalde, Texas. Sam?
Ladies and gentlemen, this matters. Where you let your children learn matters. And if you study the Bible, you'll find out that, you know, the Bible teaches it's a sin to have godless people teach your children. And, you know, as Lowell was talking about this serious issue about, hey, you know, you got these shifting students and shifting teachers and shifting where you don't know anybody. It's all strangers. You might get to know somebody, but it's a rarity. You might know a lot of people on the surface, but it's a rarity to really get to know somebody. And it's a rarity to have a connection with somebody to influence their life. Oftentimes, the collective and the continued musical chairs creates a loneliness, creates a mistrust, creates a nobody cares about me mentality. And for a rare teacher to be able to reach out and touch a student in a meaningful way, it happens. But it is the exception, and it happens because of wonderful teachers doing their very best in spite of the system, not because of. All right, you need to get your kids out of government schools, ladies and gentlemen. You need to understand, look, there are solutions. And it is to teach your children yourself or find like-minded private sector people to do the same. This is our clarion call and our hope. We got to ask why I took a gun to school, too. We'll talk about that more in detail. Incredible article as well. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas, like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
I think that my family has always had a big influence on me for not smoking because since I was little, I was taught that smoking was wrong.
Recent studies indicate that smoking among teens often leads to the use of alcohol and other drugs.
I think having faith in God is a big part in it because the way I was raised has helped to avoid smoking.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
There has been no evidence of widespread voter fraud.
The 2020 elections were one of the most corrupt in history. See the proof for yourself.
We tracked 2,000 mules making multiple ballot drops.
2,000 mules, the shocking new movie from Dinesh D'Souza.
One mule made 53 trips to 20 drop boxes.
2,000 mules. Join the special virtual premiere and Q&A on May 7th. Get your tickets now. Available only at 2000mules.com. 2000mules.com. Sponsored by Salem Media Group.
Small Business Tech Guys is a team of experts ready to assist you with any service relating to growing your business. Our team specializes in information and technology, social media, general consulting, and HR. We thrive on assisting startup entrepreneurs with growing their businesses. If it's small business, it's our cup of tea. To schedule your free discovery call today, consider sbtechguys.com. We keep an eye on tech, so you don't have to. sbtechguys.com.
Lowell Nelson with me, ladies and gentlemen. CampaignForLiberty.org. Get your kids out of the government school. Listen, they're teaching your children to regurgitate information. They're teaching your children to literally jettison true relationships for moving musical chairs relationships. And then they're basically perpetuating these false doctrines to your children. Critical race theory and all these other things. But if you homeschool your kids or put them in private school where you have like-minded Americans who believe in God teaching your children, then you have reading, writing, and arithmetic. You'll learn true elements of history. You will learn to critically think. That's probably one of the most important skill you'll ever learn. The ability to critically think through situations, circumstances, and apply moral principles to those realities. That is key. So there's an article, Why I Took a Gun to School, that highlights, in my opinion, some of even the greater problems. Lowell?
Well, and this article is one of several hundred at this website. The website is drugawareness.org. But this article, it's a testimonial about a young man. His name is Corey. I forget the last name at the moment, who took a gun to school. He didn't know he was doing it because he was on a drug, a pharmaceutical drug, an antidepressant was what he was on.
His name is Corey Bastiard, by the way.
That's right, Badsgard. That's right, thank you. He took a gun to school and held 24 of his classmates hostage for about 20 minutes. He didn't know what he was doing. In fact, when his best friend asked him, "What are you doing?" he looked down at his gun, and it was like he was surprised to see his gun in his hand. Well, turns out, Sam, he had been taking Paxil for 8 months. Now, Paxil is an antidepressant. Now, I want to talk about these in just a second, but he had been taking Paxil for 8 months and then was being switched over to a drug called Effexor. And that morning, he said he didn't feel well, so he decided to go back to bed until later in the morning. And the next thing he knew, he was in juvenile detention. Fortunately, he hadn't killed anyone. But this website talks about all of the SSRIs, which stands for Selective Serotonin Reuptake Inhibitor. It mentions Prozac and Zoloft, Effexor, Luvox. There's an alphabetical list on this website, drugawareness.org, of over 300 antidepressants. Well, an antidepressant, Sam, is a serotonin-enhancing medication. It's a mind-altering drug. Now, the positive reports about them seem to come from their stimulant, amphetamine-like nature. Well, SSRIs inhibit the reuptake, which means metabolism, of serotonin, thus leaving excess serotonin, which allows the stimulation to continue. It has long been known that inhibiting the reuptake of serotonin will produce depression, suicide, violence, psychosis, mania, cravings for alcohol and other drugs, reckless driving, and so forth. Now, the most popular SSRI drugs are Prozac, Seraphim, Zoloft, Paxil, Luvox, Celexa, Lexapro, and Brizodil. There's also a family of drugs, Sam, that inhibit the reuptake or the metabolism of norepinephrine, which are known as SNRIs. And the most common SNRIs are Effexor, Remeron, Cerazone, Cymbalta, and Prestique. The Mayo Clinic says that serotonin and norepinephrine reuptake inhibitors are a class of medications that are effective in treating depression. That's what Mayo Clinic says, okay? SNRIs are also sometimes used to treat other conditions such as anxiety disorders and long-term chronic pain, especially nerve pain. They say that SNRIs may be helpful if you have chronic pain in addition to depression. They say that SNRIs ease depression by affecting chemical messengers or neurotransmitters used to communicate between brain cells. And like most antidepressants, SNRIs work by ultimately affecting changes in brain chemistry and communication in brain nerve cell circuitry known to regulate mood and to help relieve depression. Serotonin, so SNRIs block the reabsorption or the reuptake of neurotransmitter serotonin and norepinephrine in the brain. Okay, so that's kind of like a the establishment view of SSRIs and SNRIs, these pharmaceutical drugs which are supposedly created to relieve depression. Well, the FDA approved these things, so what could go wrong, eh? The earliest of these drugs appeared on the market in the 1950s, Sam. Now, that's an important date. 70 years ago is when these antidepressants first began to appear on the market. Turns out Prozac first appeared in 1988 and became the most popular antidepressant of choice being recommended by doctors. Well, it turns out that the number of school shootings, the number of suicides, the number of homicides, and so forth, have just steadily increased since the 1950s. I mean, we had access to guns all during my childhood, as did most people during their childhood. And yet, why do we have more gun violence today than we did, you know, decades ago? Well, what has changed? You have to look at that and think, what has changed between, you know, before 1950 and after 1950? Well, there's a lot of factors, admittedly, a lot of factors. But I believe one of the key factors is the introduction of these pharmaceutical drugs and their side effects. Our suicide, violent crime, arson, alcohol abuse, depression, reckless driving, hostility, exhibitionism, and so forth. These are listed at this website, drugawareness.org. Now, one of the most important side effects, in my opinion, is the loss of conscience, or the ability to feel God anymore. Because without a moral compass, you know, members of society are left without moral direction, and thereby they commit immoral acts, such as killing children in an elementary school. It's this loss of conscience. It's the light of Christ in a person that is dampened and darkened and lost. That's what these drugs do. Now, Anne Blake Tracy served as executive director of the International Coalition for Drug Awareness. She authored a book titled Prozac, Panacea or Pandora. And for the past 30 years, this coalition has been collecting stories of people who have suffered from the use and abuse of these pharmaceutical drugs. They also maintain not only the website drugawareness.org, but a website called SSRIStories.net. And on that website is a collection of about 5,000 news stories in which antidepressants are mentioned, or in some cases where law enforcement verifies the presence of an antidepressant in a perpetrator. And that website, with over 5,000 news stories, was last updated in about 2011. So they have about 12 years of data, and at 5,000 news stories in just 12 years, there are 68 cases of bizarre behavior, 48 school shootings, 52 road rage tragedies, 12 air rage incidents, 44 postpartum depression cases, and over 600 murders, homicides, over 180 murder suicides and other acts of violence, including workplace violence. All of that is harbored at that website, SSRIStories.net. Now, my guess, Sam, just to wrap this up, is that Salvador Ramos of Uvalde, Texas, was on an antidepressant. I would put money on that, Sam. I bet that he was on some antidepressant. We may never know, but hopefully the medical examiner there in Texas will have tested for such drugs in Ramos's blood, because you can test for that even after a person dies. Just think of all the children, Sam, who get diagnosed with ADHD and end up with a prescription for an SNRI like Effexor, or the dopamine reuptake inhibitor antidepressant Wellbutrin. Wellbutrin, I guess you say that, also marketed as Zyban.
And ladies and gentlemen, if you go to drugawareness.org, you'll understand there's another reason for these mass public shootings in recent years. Pharmaceutical drugs are the cause. Antidepressants, ladies and gentlemen, Prozac, Zoloft, Effexor, Lovox, and others. And there's at drugawareness.org, ladies and gentlemen, there's an alphabetical list of over 300 antidepressants, and they're mind-altering drugs. Let's be very, very clear. You can also check out Corey's story on that website as well. Lol.
Absolutely, Sam. And just one word of warning, caution. It's critically important that a person not make any abrupt change in dosage of an antidepressant. I'll repeat that again. Do not make any abrupt change in dosage of an antidepressant. If you're hearing this for the very first time and you're on an antidepressant, do not stop cold turkey. Do not make an abrupt change in dosage, either up or down. If you want to come off of a drug, you got to do it slowly. And you have to make sure that you're providing nutritional supplements so that you can help your body wean yourself away from it. Ann said the other day that if you've been on the drug for a year, for example, then maybe you ought to take half a year, 6 months, to wean yourself away from it. So like if you're doing 100 milligrams of Zoloft or something right now, and you've been on it for a year, then you better take just decreasing doses of Zoloft over the next 6 months, but do not make abrupt changes, or you'll find yourself in a state very similar to what Corey Badgard found himself in when he just woke up with a gun in his hand. Right?
And it just, and that chronicles how powerful and manipulative and mind-controlling these drugs really are, ladies and gentlemen. Look, we cannot ignore this facet of the discussion. They're wanting to take our guns from the good guys. That's the most critical mistake we can make. And we're not willing to truly discuss these realities openly. New media taking center stage, Liberty Roundtable Live, and others are willing to. Obviously, Ann Blake Tracy is willing to. She's with the International Coalition for Drug Awareness. And, of course, her book, Prozac, Panacea, or Pandora, is really critical to understand. But, folks, there's ways to solve these things. There's ways to talk about them, but they're not having the real discussions. They're not talking about God, family, country. They're not talking about what medications and what mental health experts encourage or lead them to do. So this is a real element that must be brought up and focused on if we're going to have an honest, transparent, accountable discussion with regards to what's happening in our society. Final words yours, Lowell.
Just remember the website, drugawareness.org, and if you or a member of your family or close friends are on any of these antidepressants, visit that website and be very careful about coming off such a drug. Do it very carefully and very slowly. Read the stories there. You'll come up to speed. You'll be able to do it. And God bless you in your efforts to do that. Thank you, Sam.
Happy Memorial Day. Don't forget to remember the reason, sir.
Okay, man.
There you go. Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org, doing a phenomenal job as always. LibertyRoundtable.com, LovingLiberty.net. We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.